My wife and I consider it a privilege to be with you once again and to join with you in worship. We're turning this morning to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I want you to notice with me, especially the words of verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 27 is a psalm that is dearly loved by many Christians. In fact, many Christians claim that Psalm 27 is their favorite psalm. In this psalm, the psalmist lays bare his heart, and he makes known to us the petition of his heart. He tells us in this psalm that the Lord is his light and his salvation. He says the Lord is the strength of his life. Therefore, he doesn't have to be afraid. And you and I don't have to be afraid either. In the midst of the difficulties with the psalmist faces, he comes with the admonition to wait on the Lord. He tells us the difficulties which he is facing. Have you kept your Bible open? If you've kept your Bible open, then notice with me in verses 2 and 3. He talks about his enemies who have risen up against him and are ready to devour him. In verse 10, he talks about the possibility that his father and his mother will forsake him. In verse 12, He talks about the hurt that is imposed upon him by those who slander him and speak falsely against him. In the midst of all these, he turns to the Lord and he says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage." You see, he admonishes himself and he admonishes you and me to wait on the Lord. And this is what we want to think about this morning, learning to wait upon the Lord. And we have to notice, first of all, it means noticing that God is sovereign in all things. Then secondly, you and I must live in fellowship with him. And then thirdly, we must claim his promises as we wait upon the Lord. First of all, then, we're going to acknowledge his sovereignty. Boys and girls, you know the meaning of that word sovereign, don't you? You've learned it in catechism. It means to recognize that God is in control of all things. God is supreme. God is over all. And nothing happens apart from God's will, apart from God's commandment. That is expressed so beautifully in Lord's Day 10. I think you know the words of Lord's Day 10, don't you? It's found in the back of our Psalters on page 26. What do you mean by the providence of God? And the answer comes back, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he still upholds heaven, earth, and all creatures, and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Isn't that a beautiful expression of God's sovereignty? An expression that you and I have grown up with, that all things are under God's control. The drought that we've experienced this past summer, the rain that God has now sent, the showers are according to God's will and to God's plan. And so we acknowledge that all things come from the fatherly hand of God. And that's so important for you and for me to recognize, especially when the going is difficult. When the going is rough, when sickness comes into our lives, when hospitalization comes into our lives, when surgery comes into our lives, when death itself comes to us, it comes not by chance or by accident, but comes from God's hand and according to God's will. I don't know what you've experienced in this past week, and you don't know what I've experienced in this past week. But you and I know for a certainty, don't we, that God is in control, that God is sovereign. You know the story of Ruth, don't you? Things seem to go wrong in the life of Ruth, especially in the life of her mother-in-law. Her father-in-law dies. Her brother-in-law dies. Her husband dies. And then they decide to return home. Naomi's relatives and friends would meet them. They call her Naomi. And she tells them not to call her Naomi. Why? Because the Lord has dealt difficultly with her, has dealt hardly with her. And so she says to them, you must no longer call me Naomi, but you must call me by my name, which indicates that she is difficult. She said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Naomi recognizes that chance or accident has not come into her life, has not taken away from her husband and her two sons, but that God is in control and that God is the God who has spoken through the sorrow that comes into her life. Job acknowledges that also in his book that bears his name. Do you know the words of Job 23, verse 10? Listen. But he knows, that is, God knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Did you hear that? Job says when God is finished working with him, he shall come forth as gold. God is working a work in his life. And that work includes difficult tasks, difficulties which he must bear. And when they have taken place, then Job himself will come forth as gold. That's a good thing for us to remember. God is in control. And in waiting upon God, you and I must recognize his sovereignty. The writer to the Hebrews acknowledges that in a special way. Listen to what he says in Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. That's recognizing the sovereignty of God in our lives. That's recognizing that things don't always go smoothly in our lives. My wife and I passed a signboard in front of a church this week. And on that sign was this saying, God doesn't promise us an easy way, but he promises us a smooth landing. God doesn't promise us an easy way, but he promises to us a smooth landing. That's the concept that we're confronted with this morning as we think about God's way in our lives. He deals with us sovereignly. And sooner or later, the difficult days, the difficult ways come into our lives. But God has a purpose. God has a plan that he's fulfilling. And the psalmist talks about that in our text for this morning. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And so you and I must acknowledge the sovereignty of God And you and I must live a life of fellowship with him. The psalmist longed for that fellowship. We find it in verse 4 of the psalm that we're looking at. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You and I must live in fellowship with the Lord if we are going to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The psalmist expresses that in Psalm 25, verse 3. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. And so, as you and I wait upon the Lord, we must live in fellowship with him. And that means a life of prayer. Boys and girls, young people, you're about to start school. And that made me think of a speaker who spoke at a prayer meeting when school was to begin. You know what that speaker said, boys and girls, young people? He regretted very much that he was so old before he learned that he could talk to God about everyday things, about the things that happened in school. You know, when the going gets rough in school, when the assignments are difficult, when the kids on the playground don't always treat you as well as they should, you can pray about that. God is willing and ready to hear us when we talk about things. I remember an experience that I once had. Neighbors of ours lived only for material things. They didn't think at all about their souls. In fact, they hesitated to spend the money which they had received from hard work. And then one night, the lady had a stroke, a severe stroke. The man wanted to be taken to his wife, and so I agreed to take him to the nursing home where his wife was being cared for. And you know what he said to me? He said, I would like to pray for Leah, but I don't know how. You see, we can't wait until something bad happens in our lives and then turn to the Lord. Your life and my life ought to be a life of prayer, of calling upon God for his blessing, of thanking God for the gifts which we receive each day, of asking him for his help when the going is difficult, when the going is rough. And so I said to the man that I sat next to, I will pray for Leah. And it was within 24 hours that Leah died. And I thought, how sad, how sad. Her husband wanted to pray for her, but he didn't know how. And so you and I must not let such a thing happen to us. We must spend our life in prayer, talking to God, thanking God for the blessings that he gives us, asking him for his help in times of need. In everything we are told, we must give thanks to God for the blessings that He gives to us. And not only must we live in a life of prayer as we wait upon God, as we are of good courage, as we hope for the future, but you and I must claim the promises of God, the promises that God gives us in His Word. You and I must know what God says to us in His Word. And you and I can only know what God says to us in His Word as we study God's Word. I noticed your bulletin has a request or a suggestion that you sign up for family night. You ought to do that. You ought to do that. And go join with other Christians in the study of God's Word, to supplement the study that you have by yourself of God's Word. Then you will know that God promises never to leave us nor forsake us. God promises us in His Word that all things will work together for good. God promises that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the consistory room before the service, one of the elders read from Psalm 103, beautiful psalm. Goodness and mercy are characteristics of our God. He's slow to anger, and He's abundant in loving kindness. Do you know that? Because you've read that in His Word? Let me tell you something that I heard once. The name of Diet Eman may be familiar to you. Diet Eman lived in the Netherlands during the Second World War. She was involved in the underworld, underground. There was a time when she was arrested, when she was led away to prison. You know what she did as she was led away to prison? She thanked God that her parents had supplied her with a Christian education so that she knew God's Word, so that she could rely on His promises as she was led away to prison. You and I must rely on God's Word each day. We must store up His promises within our hearts. You know what the psalmist says, don't you, boys and girls? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against Thee. God's word ought to be a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our pathway, so that you and I will begin to see His purpose in our lives, that we will know that God is working all things for our good, that as we wait upon the Lord, we can be of good courage because we know that God will strengthen our hearts, that God will prepare us for whatever awaits us. Oh, you and I are of such a nature, aren't we, that we want to see immediately what God's purpose is, what God's will is. God doesn't always make His plan known to us immediately. Sometimes you and I will have to wait for God to reveal to us His will. In fact, some of us may have to wait until eternity, until we've said goodbye to this life and we've entered the life eternal, before we understand God's purposes, God's ways in our lives. But God promises that He will make them plain to us, either in this life or in the life to come. For you see, don't you, congregation, that God is preparing you and me for eternity. And all the events that come into our lives in the meantime are geared to prepare you and me for eternity, to make us more Christ-like. We pray that, don't we? That you and I will become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that we will become more and more like Him. And God uses the events which He sends into our lives to teach us to wait upon Him, to teach us how we ought to live. And so He says to us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Coming to Messiah Church this morning, we came near the church in Zealand, which we had served for many, many years. There were two couples in that church. The men have now been called to glory. But these two couples used to visit a lady in an iron lung. That lady had spent year after year after year in that iron lung. And they visited her thinking that they could be a blessing to her, that they would give her something else to think about. And I remember well, each time they visited her, they would come back and they would say to me, you know, we went to be a blessing, but we received a blessing instead. That lady had learned to wait upon the Lord. And you and I must learn through a life of prayer, through a life of study of His Word, through a life that acknowledge Him as sovereign over all things, to wait upon the Lord, to be of good courage. But congregation, you and I can wait upon the Lord only if we know Him as the Savior and the Lord of our lives. Only if we know that Jesus Christ died to save us from our sins. And if there is anyone here this morning who doesn't know that Jesus Christ died to save him or her from their sins, then I urge you to turn to Him this morning in repentance and faith and ask Him to forgive your sins and to accept you for Jesus' sake, that you may learn to wait upon the Lord and to be of good courage. May God grant it for each one of us that we may wait upon Him. Let's do that as we pray together. O Lord, our God, we pray that we may learn to wait upon Thee, that we may indeed be of good courage, that we may know that Thou art working a work in our lives in order that we may be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, in order that we may be prepared for eternity. And if there is anyone here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of his or her life, then we pray that Thou would humble that person under Thy almighty hand and bring that one to faith in Jesus Christ, and continue the work that thou hast begun in our lives, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.